Welcome to The Apple Seed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts for you that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and I'm excited to bring you the stories you'll hear today. In the first story, two girls go on similar adventures. They face the same challenges. They meet the same strange and magical characters. But it goes very differently for one girl than for the other girl. And it has to do with how each girl treats the strange and magical characters she meets. See if you can pick out the character traits that bring blessings into the life of the girl for whom things go well. You'll hear them recited over and over again in the story, but only once in English. Listen carefully and you'll catch them, no problem. The teller of the story here is the wonderful Philadelphia storyteller Charlotte Blake Alston, and we were happy to have her with us in the Appleseed studio. Here's Charlotte with Kumba Amnde on the Appleseed.
Desana was not her real name, but it was the name that people called her, the name that she was known by since she got into the current circumstance she was in. Desana's mother had passed only about 6 months earlier. Her father had remarried and moved a new wife with her daughter into their home. The father was often gone, days, weeks, sometimes for work, leaving Desana there with her stepmother and stepsister. Desana. Essentially, it just means poor thing. And that's what people called her, Desana. And as you can expect, she was treated quite differently by this stepmother. She bought all kinds of things for her own daughter, would walk to the marketplace and buy fabric, beautiful fabric, have them made into clothing for her, jewels for her arms and ankle bracelets for her feet. But with Desana, she ended up being the one responsible for doing all of the housework. If, in fact, she was allowed to accompany them to the marketplace, her stepsister, Kumba, would be given money to go buy whatever she wanted. Desana would be given money and instructions to buy meat, poultry, vegetables, seasonings, whatever it was she was going to use to cook the food for their dinner. They would come back home, and yes, she would do all of the cooking while Kumba went visiting her friends. In the morning, she would prepare water for her stepsister's bath so her stepsister could go off to school. While her stepsister was at school, she would cook, she would sweep the house, she would wash the pots and do all of the work inside and outside of the house. But her spirit was not broken. It does not mean that she was not sad. When her mother died, one of the elders said, "You have just acquired an ancestor, a beautiful spirit that will be with you for the rest of your life." She remembered the words of her mother's teachings. She remembered her mother saying to her over and over from the time she was a young child, "Yaru, Yatu, Sutra, Muny, kindness, respect, open-heartedness, patience. These will carry you far." It was because of her mother and the memory of her mother that her spirit was not broken. Well, one day she went to look for a bowl to mix some ingredients in, and she reached up on a high shelf and she pulled down a bowl that's called mbatu. The mbatu bowl is used only in certain celebrations, for tabaski, for baby naming ceremonies, for Ramadan. And as she was pulling the bowl down off of the shelf, the stepmother came in and screamed, "Ay, ay, ay, ay," and she dropped it and broke it into pieces. "That was given to me by my old ancestor. I should have known that I should have moved it to a place where you could not see it. I should have known you would have done this. You need to put those pieces together. Take them into the forest to the River Ndegu Dayan and heal them. Put the bowl back together." The River Ndegu Dayan. There were stories that floated about this river, that it had restorative powers. Many, they say, had gone to find it, but only a few had returned, and those that had returned came back not in their right mind. She knew what her stepmother was trying to do, and that was to get rid of her. She tried to stall. Well, can I wait until my father comes back? He has been at work. He will not be back for another week. No. You broke it now. I want you to heal it now. I want you to get away from me. Bumala Fagisiti, go away from me and don't come back until you have restored this bowl. She took a cloth and put the pieces of the bowl in the cloth. She knew that the only way to get to this river from the stories that she heard was to walk through a very strange forest. But she began to walk and walk. Didoch, 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 didoch. She walked and walked and walked until the sun was high in the sky and she came upon a tree that was letting down its own fruit with its branches. Its branches being used as arms and fingers. She remembered her mother's teachings and what she should do if she came across a strange spirit. Yaru, Yatu, Sutra, Muny, Musuk Nyoko. She got down on one knee. She honored the spirit in the tree. And the tree spoke. Yaonedom, you there, child. What a good child you are. You didn't point or scream or do anything. Wherever you're going, you are going to receive a blessing. Yala jublu yala. And it gave her some of the fruit that it was taking down. It quenched her thirst, filled her belly. She thanked the tree and continued to walk. Didoch, 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 didoch. As she walked, she sang a song that came from her heart. Lichincheli manano, awabaka wasaman. What I need, I cannot have. I need my mother. That is the one thing that no spirit can ever bring to me. But she continued to walk and sing to give herself comfort. And soon, as the sun began to drop, she came upon a large pot cooking its own contents with no fire underneath. Again, she remembered her mother's teachings. Yaru, Yatu, Sutra, Muny, Musuk Nuyuko. She got down on one knee, honored the spirit in the bowl, and the pot called out to her. Yal Dedom, you there, child. What a respectful child you are. Wherever you are going in your life, you will receive a blessing. Yala Jublu Yala. And it gave her some of the contents so that she could eat and have her belly filled once again. She left after thanking the spirit and continued to walk and walk, didoch, didoch, didoch. And time after time after time encountered one strange spirit after another. Some so strange, I could not even tell you what they were like. Each time, she got down on one knee and honored the spirit and received a blessing. Just as the sun was about to drop behind the horizon, she came across a half woman, half creature. It had one leg, one arm, one eye, and hair that ran down both the back and the front of her body. But again, her mother's voice was loud in her ear. Yaru, Yatu, Sutra, Muny. Musuk Nyoko, she got down on one knee and honored the spirit and the woman. The woman called out to her, Yaonidam, you there, child. What a good child you are. What are you going? How did you get here? How did you get so far? And she began to tell this old woman creature how she came to be in that forest. Well, it is going to be dark now. No one can find the way at night. You come with me. I will give you something to eat. I'll take you to the river in the morning. She still had the pieces of that bowl in her hand, and now she had made it to that river in Dago Dayan. She followed this woman into her home. The woman gave her something to eat and said, now I am the mother of all the creatures in the forest. They all come home at night to stay with me. I'm going to give you this comb with a long pointed end. They will come to get in the bed. You get under the bed before they get here. When they come, you stick it with the point of the comb, little by little, dunk, dunk, dunk. They will think there are fleas in the bed and they will get up and leave. And then you can get in the bed and go to sleep. So after her belly was full, The woman gave her the comb. She got underneath the bed, and no sooner had she pulled in her arms and her legs when shoom, shoom, one by one, boom, these creatures came in from all directions, piled into the bed, and as the old woman had told her, she began to stick them with the tip of the comb little by little, and dunk, dunk, dunk. Oh, the hyena Bookie jumped up. Oh, said, there are fleas in this bed. We cannot sleep here. We have to go. We'll come back when they're gone. And they left. Now, the old woman said, you can get into the bed and sleep. And she slept a long, deep, peaceful, restful sleep. And in the morning, the old woman creature led her to the river Ndegudayan, where they dipped the pieces of the bowl into the water. And sure enough, the bowl was restored. Now, said the old woman creature, I am going to give you 3 eggs. The first one, you break this first, and a crowd of people will rise and follow you. The second egg, you break it, and strange creatures will come out of it, but do not worry. The third egg, when you get close to your village, you break it, and this will be my gift to you. And what about this name you have, Ndesana? What kind of a name is that for someone like you? Claim the name that your mother gave you at birth. Her birth name was Sukena, which meant one who will always return. She thanked the old woman creature and began to walk back towards her village. She walked a third of the way, and as the old woman instructed her, she broke the first egg, and yes, a crowd of people rose up from that egg and began to follow her. Second third of the way, she broke the second egg, and as the old woman said, all sorts of vile creatures emerged, but the crowd surrounded them and devoured them all. When she got close to her village, she broke the third egg, and out of it came jewels and treasures for her arms and her neck, beautiful clothing she wrapped around her body. She got out of that forest back into her village and into her house. And when she arrived, the woman could not believe that she was standing in front of her once again. How did you get back here? I don't believe. And then she stopped. She looked at Sukena's arms, the fabric, and then her daughter came in. And immediately, she snatched the bowl from Sukena, dropped it on the floor and broke it, and said to her daughter, oh, I've broken my bowl. You must go to the river in Ndegudayan, and you must repair it. Her daughter looked at the pieces of the bowl broken that had been restored. She looked at her stepsister. She looked at her mother, and then it clicked. I will go to the river in Ndegudayan and restore the pieces of the bowl. She wrapped them in a cloth. She left the village and she entered the forest. She began to walk and walk, tidoch, 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 and came upon that same tree that was still letting down its own fruit. Oh my, what kind of a crazy thing is this? She began to point and yell and scream, and the tree began to speak to her. Yaldedom, you there. You are not a polite child. You are not respectful. Wherever you are going, you will not receive a blessing. I don't care about receiving a blessing, but I do care about some of that fruit that you have. And she just grabbed what had fallen onto the ground and began to eat it noisily as she walked away from the tree. She continued to walk, didoch, 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 and she came to that large pot that was cooking the stew without a flame underneath. And once again, she said, I cannot believe, what is going on? What kind of a forest is this? What are you doing here? You must be some sort of person that has been cursed or something like this. I've never seen, and again, it spoke to her, Yaldedom, you there, child, you are not very polite. You are not going to go to a good end. No matter where you are going in your life, you are not going to receive a blessing. I don't need to receive a blessing, but I will take some of what is in that pot. And she dipped the pieces of the bowl in and began to eat from it. She walked away from the pot, didoch, 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 and every time she encountered a new spirit, she would point, she would scream, she would yell, she would tease, she would mock it, until she came upon that creature woman, and oh, when was the last time you bathed? Oh, you should not even show yourself in front of anyone. The woman called out to her, Yaldedom, you there, child. You are very disrespectful. Wherever you are going in life, you will not receive a blessing. I don't care about receiving a blessing. I care that what you give to me is what you gave to the other girl. By that time, it was dark. She said, no one can find the river in the dark. You come inside of my house and I will take you there in the morning. She followed the old woman creature into the house, but was not offered one crumb of food to eat. But she did give her the comb and told her, I am the mother of all the creatures. They will come back here to sleep tonight. You get under the bed. When they get into the bed, you stick it to them little by little and dunk and dunk. They will think there are fleas in the bed. They will get up and go and you can sleep. She snatched the comb from the woman, got underneath the bed, and as soon as she pulled in her arms and her legs, shoom, whoom, pop, pop, they came from everywhere, and it frightened her, so she started to jab them hard. Oh, Bookie jumped up and said, these are not fleas. There's something else under this bed. What is it we need to see? And she was rescued by the mother of the creatures.
Oh, I will take care of it. I think there may be some little tiny animals that cut in. You leave, and I will take care of it. Come back tomorrow and sleep.
Well, these were all terrible creatures, some of them, but they still listened to their mother. They left, and she got into the bed. And in the morning, the old creature woman took Kumba to the river Ndego Dayan and said, you almost got yourself into trouble last night. I don't care about that, she said. What you drew for me is the same that you did for the other girl. She said, I am going to give you what I gave to her. This is the first egg that you should break. When you get a third of the way from here, all sorts of people, a crowd will come out of the egg and they will follow you. The second egg, she didn't even give her time to explain when she snatched the second and the third egg and took off, now that the bowl had been restored. She got a third of the way and said, a crowd of people? I don't want a crowd of people following me. I don't want a crowd of people sharing my treasures and my jewels. And she broke the second egg, and vile creatures came out of it, surrounded her, and when they took off in all four corners of the forest, there was nothing left of that girl except her tongue. Meanwhile, her mother had gathered some of the women in the village to wait for her daughter's return with jewels. A bird flew over them, circled around them three times, and dropped the tongue into the mother's lap. She screamed and ran off into that same forest and was never seen again. As for Sukena, she continued to use the treasures her mother gave to her, and they served her well for the rest of her life. And they say even now today, if you visit the country of Senegal, in cities, villages, schoolyards, courtyards, people will still gather to hear the story they call Kumba Amde Ak Kumba Amunde. When they hear it, the children are reminded of how rich they already are.
That was Charlotte Blake Alston with Kumba Amde. Now, some of the way that story played out might have sounded familiar to you. A wicked stepmother, a vain and selfish stepsister. Sounds a little like Cinderella, yeah? Stories like the Cinderella story show up all over the world. There are hundreds of variations of that story. And if you picked up on some of those elements in this telling of Charlotte's story, good for you. It's kind of a cool illustration of how all the world's stories are related, a little like its people. In any case, meeting every new character that came across her path with kindness, respect, open-heartedness, and patience brought into the life of Sukena a blessing from each magical character she met, no matter how strange or different those characters might have been. And that's worth remembering. It's a pretty good life lesson. You know, you never know what's going to bring on a memory, and you never know what memory it's going to bring on. As I heard Charlotte's story, I remembered a long-ago phone call. It went like this. Hey, guys, this is Kathy. I wonder if you'd be willing to take a friend of mine out to see some national parks over the next couple of days. She's from Israel, and she's ready to hop on a bus for southern Utah this afternoon. Well, It wouldn't have been much of a problem any other week, but this week we had concerts to do, soccer games one after another, church stuff up to our eyeballs, school projects to finish, and we said yes, we'd do it because Kathy was family, but we were kind of cursing under our breaths, and the curses grew louder as we learned that this was not even a dear old friend of Kathy's that we were going to be showing around Southern Utah, but rather a girl that she had met on the street outside a Salt Lake City art gallery only moments before she called us. She was a perfect stranger. And so it was that we kind of had painted on pleasantness as we went downtown to fetch the girl from an evening Greyhound bus. Reut Shmueli was her name. She'd been touring the United States with a backpack on her back. And when Reut stepped down off the bus, her face was full of the respect, kindness, open-heartedness, and patience that we hardly deserved. And something happened. Within half an hour, we were deep and abiding friends. She stayed with us in the end for 6 days instead of just two. She came to concerts, hiked canyons. She asked us questions about our faith tradition, the way we worshiped. She told us about hers. When she did leave us, it was with tears and embraces and promises to see each other again. On our coffee table sits a book about Israel sent to us by her parents. Boy, respect, kindness, open-heartedness, and patience. It opened the floodgates for us. And I wonder sometimes where all that grumpy indignance went on the day Reut came to visit us, the day of Kathy's call. But it's not much of a mystery, really. It's as simple as this, I suppose. It's easy to be angry at imagined circumstances and situations, but at the heart of situations and circumstances are people. People with hang-ups and abilities and things they need and things they can give. People who have had a hard day at work or who are tired of doing the dishes or who climb down from Greyhound buses full of hope and anxiety, who may not even speak the language well, but who have faces full of respect and kindness and open-heartedness and patience. It was easy to brush Reut off when she was nothing but an abstract inconvenience, an obstacle to our getting things done that week. But then she materialized, became a real person. And in the face of that, it was simply easier to be friends. Impossible, in fact, to be anything else. And that's where Charlotte's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along?
Simultaneously laughing, we're all agreed that we love, love, love the apple seed.
There's a lot coming up, but first I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Top of Mind, and it's perfect for people who want to engage with tough issues that matter in our communities, but are turned off by how polarizing and divisive these conversations can sometimes be. Each week, Top of Mind tackles one tough, important topic. An award-winning host, Julie Rose, talks with guests who have complicated perspectives that are sure to challenge you. Now, they're not trying to change your mind, just give you the chance to find more empathy and clarity so you can become a better citizen and a kinder neighbor. Listen to Top of Mind on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all kinds of ways to find Top of Mind and listen whenever you like, whenever you need it. Top of Mind with Julie Rose from BYU Radio.
Oh, tell me some more. Okay, I'll proceed with my story inspired by the apple seed.
We're so glad to have you with us today on the Appleseed Podcast. You'll love our next story. It's one that'll be familiar to you, but you may have never heard the story quite like the great St. Louis storyteller Bobby Norfolk tells it. In this story, like the last, siblings all face the same unusual challenge. This time, though, the unusual challenge is a hungry troll under a bridge, and the siblings are a trio of goats. Let's join Bobby now in the Appleseed studio.
All right, this story, it is 400 years old. It's a Norwegian folktale. If you feel so inclined, you can help with the rhythm. It goes like this. This is a tale of some goats and a troll. Troll live under a bridge, you know. He guarded that bridge every night and day. He got you up if you went that way. But the grass was green on the other side. So the goats decided to give it a try. The little billy goat was the first that day. His feet went trip, trap, trip, trap. Hey, who's that trip trapping over my bridge? Hey, fool, be cool. It's me, you see. I got a hunch you be my lunch. But I'm so small, you're so tall. Sit in the shade, you'll be repaid. There's a bigger billy goat in this parade. Well, he let him pass to eat some grass. The middle billy goat was the next to go. His feet went trip, trap, trip, trap. Yo! Who's that trapping over my bridge? Hey, boo, be cool, it's me, you see. I got a hunch you be my lunch. But I'm so small, you're so tall. Sit in the shade, you be repaid. There's a bigger billy goat in this parade. Well, he let him over to eat some clover. The big billy goat went the last that day. His feet went trip, trap, trip, trap. Hey, who's that trip trapping over my bridge? Hey, boo, be cool. I'm big, you dig. I got a hunch you be my lunch. I got two sharp horns to run you through, four sharp hooves to cut you in two. So come on up and give it a try. We'll see which one that's gonna get by. Well, the troll was the fool. He couldn't be cool. He tried to fight. The goat was right. With his two sharp horns, he ran him through. With his four sharp hooves, he cut him in two. Then the goat swung on over to the other side. Work it. Woo! Ate the grass and they said with pride, work it, woo. That troll was a fool, he couldn't be cool. He should have learned not to be so greedy. He should have learned to help the needy. Then the goats ate grass till they got fat. Trip, trap, trip, trap, that's that.
That was Bobby Norfolk with something he calls Three Billy Goats Gruff Rap. Can you think of a time when you stuck together to get through an unusual challenge? How about a time when treating someone with kindness, respect, open-heartedness, or patience brought a blessing into your life? I bet you've got some stories to share. And we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them in the show. You can communicate with us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, at byu.edu. We want to thank Charlotte Blake Alston and Bobby Norfolk for sharing their stories with us today. You've listened to their tales. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, and Brian Tanner. Assistant producers include Garrett Gunnell, Carrie Griggs, Kay Hendrickson, and Nico Wetzel. And our post team is Trent Reimschussel and DJ Cromarty. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes. All our podcasts can be found on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on the BYU Radio app or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, leave us a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.